This is the Blind Geek Zone. Blind Geek Zone live cast number 2 for Thursday, November 4th, 2010. Hey everyone, we're back for another BGZ live cast. I know I said I was going to do these a little more often than I have so far. This is only the second one in about 6 weeks, but I've had several things going on here, and I'll talk about some of that here during the show. And first, that is what I will bring up. The Blind Geek Zone website is going to be moving. We're going to be changing web hosts, and that should happen within the next couple of weeks. I would assume by mid-November, this should all be done. My previous hoster had to move and isn't doing the web providing services anymore. So what we're now doing is we're going to use what is called a Linode. And a friend of mine is currently setting that up. We've got one purchased. And we've got it initially set up. And we have part of the Blind Geek Zone on it currently testing it. And last I heard, that was going really good. So that is one of the reasons why there hasn't been any audio updates on the site in, probably 2 months now, except for the last Blind Geek Zone live cast. So just hang tight, and hopefully by no later than the end of the month, everything should resume normal operations there. I've got a number of podcasts from other people to post, so should have some stuff there pretty soon for you. So sorry about the inconvenience, but sometimes we just can't control these kind of things. Here today on the live cast, get several people listening already. I know Jeff Bishop is listening, James Hooper, and Chris Karstedt. So hope to have a number of you listening today. Going to be talking about several things here. My voting experience the other day, Tuesday, November 2nd in the United States is Election Day, and I participated in that, and I have a little bit of a story there to tell about accessibility or lack thereof in my voting experience. Then after that, we'll be talking a bit about some concerns that have been brought to me about Freedom Scientific and JAWS and the ILM process. I've been having a number of issues lately. A number of people have been coming to me with issues about Freedom Scientific not being willing to reset their ILM keys, and we're going to talk about that for a bit. Also today, we're going to talk about the online backup service that is called Carbonite, and I'll be showing that to you here today. I have it on the PC here, and we'll be talking about that quite a bit. Also, if you have any questions or comments or just want to say you're listening, you can follow me on Twitter, and my name there is Rickster the Geek. That's RickstertheGeek. If you're listening and you're not able to participate via Twitter, you can email me. You can do that at rharmon, R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net. And we'll be checking Twitter and email here periodically through the podcast or the live cast. And I'll be looking for questions and comments from you. We'll comment. That's what makes this this presentation live and interesting. So look forward to hearing from you. And let me check this again here real quick.
Checking for mentions. No new mentions. Jeff Bishop, me too. RT a Toonhead. Now tuned into a Jeff Bishop at Rickster the Geek, who did you?
Oops.
Jeff Bishop at Rickster the Geek, who did you go with about 2 minutes ago? Item 1 of 100.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that in just a moment. One of the things I'm still working on here, I've got a second sound card to install on this box. There are sometimes I want you to be able to hear the screen reader speaking, and there are other times I would prefer that you didn't. And so far, I don't have any kind of way to easily facilitate that here. So unfortunately, when I'm switching around here between Twitter and stuff, it's just going to have to endure it. If anybody has any thoughts on how I could come up with a way to at times not have you hear the screen reader and then have you be able to hear the screen reader at other times when you need to, I'd certainly be interested in hearing from you, because I'm not real sure exactly how to pull something like that off, and still want to be able to get people in via Skype. And I've talked to Jeff Bishop a little bit, and he suggested to me that I use a service called Virtual Audio Cable. So I'm going to have to look into that. I need to get the second sound card installed. And so still in the process of getting some things working here correctly for the live cast. But, you know, hey, we do what we can do. So hope it won't bother you too much today to hear Eloquence speaking from time to time. But we do need it for the Carbonite demonstration. Okay, like I said, first up, my election experience on Tuesday. At first, kind of decided that I wasn't interested in voting. I really don't care for either side at this moment. I'm just not real happy with the political process these days here in the United States. But a lot of people reminded me, hey, you know, you need to go vote whether you like them or not. And so, after some thought, I decided to go ahead and do that. We live pretty close to my voting place here, and my mom took me over. And it's at our middle school, and we went in and found out where we had to go. Went up, got our ballot, and did all that interesting stuff. And the election officials there said they hadn't had anybody come in blind to use the accessible machine before. And apparently they have a machine at most of the voting establishments here to facilitate accessible voting. And it was interesting. I had never used one before either. The last time I voted, I did so via absentee ballot and had someone help me fill that out. But this time I decided, well, I want to see how accessible these machines are. And the machine we have here, and I've heard several other people talk about it in other locations throughout the country, is the AutoMark, I believe they called it. And as far as I could tell, what this machine is it's a PC. As far as I could tell, it had JAWS running on it. I heard Eloquence speaking. Sounded like JAWS Eloquence to me. And basically, it would sit there and tell you to insert your ballot into the machine. And apparently what you do is you take this ballot and you take off some stuff from it and you put it into the machine. Apparently the officials weren't aware of this at first. And we had several experiences putting the ballot into the machine. And the machine would come up a few seconds later and say, you know, ballot not recognized or ballot misfed, you know, try it again. And we did this about six or seven times at least. And we had quite a few of the officials there looking at it, because apparently, since nobody had really been in to run the machine, none of them were exactly sure how the process went to operate the machine. So they were looking at their manual and, you know, reading this and reading that. And I guess apparently on page six, it said, you know, what they had to do with the ballot. And well, in one of the last attempts, they put the ballot in, and I guess the ballot ate the ballot stub, and it wouldn't feed it in any longer. So they tried to call the Board of Elections, and of course, you know, on election day, the Board of Elections is promptly swamped, and of course, there was a busy signal. So I could have either waited for them to contact somebody at the Board of Elections, get them out there, or I could have just, you know, had somebody read me the ballot as usual. Of course, the officials there were more than happy to do so, fortunately. And fortunately, like I said, I had my mom with me, and we decided she would just read it to me. And that's what we ended up doing. But it was unfortunate that for whatever reason, the machine didn't work. And I'm guessing at this point, it was just because the officials weren't sure how to load the machine properly. And it's a shame that, you know, there's probably a number of these machines throughout the city. I know somebody that used one when I was down to the Blind Center that day told me they'd used one across town, and theirs worked fine. They didn't have any problem with it. So, you know, apparently they don't all not work. And like I said, I think this was just simply due to the fact that the poll workers there didn't really know how to use the machine. But it's kind of sad that more people aren't taking advantage of it. I know in my precinct, I'm sure there is more than one blind person than just me. And they told me I'm the only one that's ever showed up to use it. So they had a, I guess they had a fun time trying to figure it out. And I guess, you know, they were really nice about it. And I certainly can't say anything bad about them because they were as helpful as they possibly could be. And they were very, you know, nice to me and everything. So, you know, interesting process. And I guess there are quite a few versions of these accessible machines out there. Some scan through OCR, which is what this one did, you know, because the ballot is one of the ballots where you just use a pen or pencil and shade in the area where you want to vote for the person. And apparently this machine is capable of reading the ballot and finding those areas, and through an accessible means you can mark it yourself, and hence I guess the name AutoMark. I guess there are other machines out there, touch screens and other methods, but there's certainly no standardization as far as I know for this process yet. And what I really, really, really wish would happen is that voting would be able to be done via the internet. There's got to be a way through secure HTTP or something, you know, and having an identification system via each person to do this. And I honestly think that if we could vote over the internet or even the phone or whatever, there's got to be some kind of process to do this that you can identify yourself either through a code that you're given that would be allowed, you know, to be used once. You know, there's got to be some way other than just absentee and early voting and, you know, in the process, you know. Luckily, there weren't many people there at the time when I went. I went around 3 o'clock my time here, and it was real quiet, so it really wasn't a big deal. But, you know, one machine that's accessible, and, you know, if you have a large crowd and you had a number of people wanting to use it and it was just difficult to use, you know, certainly could be a problem as far as I'm concerned. And hopefully the process will get better. Let's see if we got anything here on Twitter commenting about this.
Checking for mentions. No new mentions. Geo at Rickster the Geek listening to your show. This is my first time listening about 7 minutes ago.
And Geo is listening. Giovanni from Chicago.
Jeff Bishop at Rickster the Geek. Sorry, no, I meant as far as your web host provider about 6 minutes ago.
Oh. Well, you now know the answer to that. That's Linode.
Jeff Bishop at Rickster the Geek. Sorry, no, I meant as far as your web.
Oh, okay. All right, and let's check email real quick.
Alt-tab, encoders. Alt-tab, BGZ Inbox Outlook Express.
See, in this process here, I would kind of like
F5, Outlook Express Dialog.
To be able to do this without
folder list review.
The audience necessarily having to listen to all of it. Let's see here.
45 messages, 10 unread work tab, unread, Mustafa Almadi, Blind Geek Zone, Livecast number 211/4/enter.
Yeah, we got an email
from
here.
Mustafa Almadi, subject, Blind Geek Zone, Livecast number 2, no links. Hello Rick, I wish that you're doing perfectly. Recently I have been aware about the second live streaming of the Blind Geek Zone radio. I am tremendously intriguing of this show, and I wish that I may be able to participate directly. May I suggest you for doing something? Can you host this Livecast streaming at the Blind Geek Zone chatting room? Best wishes, it's always hope that gives me hope.
Thanks, Mustafa, for the comment and the email. It's always appreciated. Unfortunately, no, I cannot do this through the Blind Geek Zone chat room. It's our Talking Communities hosted room that Talking Communities has generously provided to Blind Geek Zone. Unfortunately, no, because we have a 10-seat limit there, and it just wouldn't be practical. And as I get this going down the road, I want to be able to do more things than Talking Communities is going to be allowed. Like I said, I'm hoping to have Skype be able to be piped in here, and, you know, maybe even phone calls and voicemails and things like that. So the simple answer to that is no, we just can't do that. And I think this works better anyways. The quality is better. I just think in ways this is a lot better. Let's look here real quick.
Alt tab, BGZ inbox outlook, alt tab, encoders, alt tab, shootcast administrator, Windows Internet Explorer, shootcast 5.
Check the shoutcast interface here and see.
Stream is up at 128 kbps with 17 of 1,000 listeners.
See, right now we've already got 17 listeners, and that is more than the capacity of the room. Let's see.
Listener peak, 19.
And we had a listener peak of 19, so that's nearly double the capacity of our room. So there's a real good reason as to why, no, we can't do that this way. Okay, next, I would like to talk about a problem that has been brought to my attention many, many times in the last, let's just say this year. As you all know, if you use Freedom Scientific's JAWS screen reader, you know that since version, 5.1 or 5.2, they've been using what they called the ILM licensing system. It's the Internet Licensing Manager, I believe it's called. And, you know, we've all experienced this for quite a few years now. I know when I lost my sight and started using JAWS, I started with JAWS 6.0, so, you know, I never really did get the chance to use the floppy disk, the Quella licensing system that I guess they used prior to that. And my understanding is one of the big reasons that they did away with the Quella licensing system is it was so easy to break the floppy protection. And I know at a company I was working for in the 90s, we had some floppy disks programs that we used, and they also had probably a very similar protection scheme. And the company was always only willing to give us one or two disks at a time, and we always needed more. And a buddy of mine figured out how to use a copier just to copy the disk, raw copy the disk, and easily make an exact duplicate of the disk with the protection scheme intact. So, and what typically happened on these disks is you might be aware that the floppy disks used 80 tracks with 18 sectors per track, and what they did to protect these disks from normal copying, you know, if you use disk copy or whatever back from DOS, it would only copy the 80 tracks at 18 sectors per track. And typically what these programs did, and I'm sure this is probably what the JAWS system did as well, is it probably had 81 or 82 or maybe even 83 tracks, or maybe it had 19 or 20 sectors per track. And when you used something like disk copy and tried to copy it, it looked like it was okay, but as soon as you tried to use it, of course, it wasn't, because the additional information that was hidden on the other tracks or sectors wasn't there. So anyways, they went to this new system, and for quite a while, it really wasn't a problem. I didn't really hear a whole lot of complaints about ILM really until this year, but ILM has some severe flaws in it, or at least in my opinion it does. What happens is when you're using JAWS with ILM, if anything changes on your machine, and this can be just as simple as adding a stick of RAM or changing a CD-ROM drive out, the locking code that is given through the ILM process changes, and JAWS automatically says, okay, you're not authorized now. You know, you're going to have to reauthorize. And typically, I know, at least as far as myself, and they give you three keys at a time, and you just go back out and tell it you want another key, and that's fine if you don't change things too often, but there are so many things that breaks the blocking code, you know, any change whatsoever in the system. And Microsoft does something similar to this to keep tabs on you know, when you're using, you know, like XP or Vista or whatever, you know, it tracks changes that you've made to the machine, but it does it in a different way. It takes like six or seven different major changes to the system before it'll come up and say, you know, you're not authentic anymore and make you re-authenticate. And honestly, since I've been using Windows here, I've only had to re-authenticate my XP box here once, and I don't think I've ever had to do it to the Vista or Windows 7 machines at all. But ILM breaks this routinely, and if they did something similar to what Saratech does with their licensing system now, what you do is they give you two keys, you put them out on your machines, and say you want to do something, you know, go to another machine or something. You just simply give your key back to the system and go to that other machine and say, okay, I want system access installed here. And, you know, all is fine and well. You know, there's no problems with it. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting it, changing something on the machine and breaking it. And even if you do have a problem with it, you know, Saratech is always, I know I had a problem once, and Saratech's always been very, very nice about fixing those problems for us. But for whatever reason, Freedom Scientific does not or cannot, I don't know which is the case, allow you any means of giving your key back up to the system, doing whatever you need to do, and then saying, okay, give me the key back. This would solve so many different problems with the system. And like I said, I really haven't heard any complaints about it, but for whatever reason, I think FS has really decided to crack down now. And I've had probably at least a dozen people approach me saying that Freedom Scientific has refused to reset their ILM keys, basically due to the fact that they've used the keys too many times. They've asked for too many resets. And, you know, I do understand that Freedom Scientific does want to limit problems, you know, people maybe sharing their disks around or whatever, or using it on 100 different machines or, you know, whatever is going on. But since the system is flawed, I don't really understand what right Freedom Scientific has to come back to somebody and say, well, you've reset too many times. And I know I talked to Eric Damery about this via email at one point, and he said that, you know, they're only doing this to people that have asked for multiple resets, say, in a six-month period. And I understand that. You know, if you're asking for 20 resets in a six-month period, then obviously something odd is going on. Or, you know, maybe you're just a tinkerer and you do a lot of changes. You know, either way, unless Freedom Scientific can absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, prove that you're doing something illegal, I would like to see in their license, their EULA, where it states that they can arbitrarily decide to deny you an ILM reset. You know, as long as you're not breaking the law, as long as you're not sharing JAWS with other people that you don't have authorization to do so, I really don't understand where FS can set and tell users, we will not reset your ILM. And apparently what they're doing is they're trying to force people to buy the dongles that authorize via USB dongle that plugs into the box. And then I guess you would use it on just, you know, one machine at a time. And I don't really agree with this. I have a dongle here and it's helped me out a lot. I, you know, if I go places and work on people's machines and things like that, and, you know, I need a way to authorize via something other than ILM, because it simply, for me, doesn't work. And it doesn't work for a lot of the people, a lot of techie people out there that I know either, because they're always making changes on their machines. They're always doing this or they're always doing that. You know, and some people just have a lot of problems with their machines, and, you know, and JAWS eats their ILMs. I know people that say that they've done nothing whatsoever and JAWS has ate their ILM. And so, as far as I'm concerned, this is becoming a huge problem, and I'd really like to know what FS intends to do about it, because I don't see where they have any legal way that they can just refuse somebody that has bought their program, you know, $1,000 program, and FS says, "Well, sorry, you've reauthorized too many times. We're not going to let you reauthorize anymore." I honestly don't see how this can be legal, and you know, to me, it's really a problem, and I can sympathize with a lot of people because I've reset here a number of times myself. I get three keys at a time, and I think I've reset 11 or 12 times in the last 5 years or so now that I've been using Joe's. And fortunately, for whatever reason, you know, FS hasn't given me any hassle, but I know people that have come forward that said they've asked for resets just about as many times, and for whatever reason, you know, they've been denied a reset. So I don't know what's going on, but it's certainly become a big problem, and I thought today it would be good to just bring it out in the open and talk about it here, and you know, maybe see what others have to say, and maybe FS will actually publicly comment on it. That would be something I would love to see. Let's check Twitter here and see if we got any comments on this.
Checking for mentions. One new mention. Mike Reiser at Rick Sturthajeep listening to your show. Do you have a hardware mixer or just some virtual one? About 11 minutes ago. Monty Icenogle at Rick Sturthajeep. Why don't they allow you to return a key to the server when you're gonna do planned maintenance? About 34 seconds ago. Monty Icenogle.
And that's basically what I was just saying as far as the ILM. That when you're going to do something, yeah, you certainly should be allowed to give the key back. And I really, really, really do not understand why they do this. You know, WindowEyes doesn't even use any kind of a system like that. Basically, I guess they just let you put it on your machines, and they don't give you a hassle, I guess, unless they see something funny going on. And System Access, like I said, you know, has a way to return your keys to them, so... It's a very interesting situation, and I would love, like I said, to hear something from Freedom Scientific as to why they continue to use a flawed security system and why they are now, within the last year, deciding that certain people are no longer allowed to have resets. This is just kind of hearsay, and I don't like to bring too much hearsay into the process, but a friend of mine told me he was in a Philadelphia meeting back in late 2005 that Eric Damery attended late 2004 when ILM started. And a couple of people asked him basically, okay, you know, the Quella system allows us to return our license to the floppy and the ILM system doesn't. So, you know, is there going to come a point when somebody's going to say, well, you can't have a reset? And like I said, this is hearsay, but according to this person, Eric Damery told all the people there at the meeting that there would not ever be a time when Freedom Scientific would deny a request of a user using ILM to have a reset. Now, I don't know, like I said, whether this is true or not, but for whatever reason, you know, from 2005 through 2009, there didn't seem to be too much of a problem. But now in 2010, there seems to be a huge problem with this. So I don't know what's going on, but it really needs to stop. FS really needs to do something with this system, either make it where it can give the key back or go to some other security system that's less flaky. But you know, ILM is really flaky, in my opinion, and a number of others as well. So, all right.
2:32 p.m.
Okay, it's about half an hour into this. Let's check email here real quick.
Alt tab, Blind Geek Zone, Livecast number 2, Unicode UTF-8. Escape, server status, sir. Alt tab, BGZ inbox, Outlook XF5, Outlook Express dialog, connecting to admin.
Check our mail here real quick, see if anybody's commented via email. What we're going to do next is we're going to get into Carbonite here.
46 messages, 10 unread, work a tab, BGZ income, 1 unread, tab, Skoka 12, unread, Skoka tab, BGZ in tab, Mustafa unread, Mustafa Almadi, enter. From Mustafa Almadi, subject, thank you Rick, I just heard your comments right now, no links, best wishes, it's always hope that give meaning.
Okay, great, 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 great. All right. Like I said, I think next, let's check Twitter here real quick.
Checking for mentions. No new Chris Karsted at Rickster the Geek. A friend of mine lost their ILM key simply by plugging in a USB mic. Wow, about 3 minutes ago.
Well, I haven't seen that ever happen, but that's certainly interesting. That's not one of the things, according to the technical support bulletin up on the Freedom Scientific website. It's one of the things that will reset the key, but boy, that's strange.
Monty Eisnogel at Rickster the Geek. Why is it that sometimes they'll reset the one and other times they'll reset the whole three keys? About 4 minutes ago.
I don't know. I've noticed new licenses that have come out are only getting one key now, whereas the older licenses are still getting three, and I don't know what has changed their minds here, but I've noticed on a lot of the newer licenses of JAWS, the higher serial numbers. A buddy of mine that I helped get a later version of JAWS for here in the last year or so only has one key on there. So I don't know the answer to that. I suspect that they're trying, for whatever reason, to limit the number of resets that they're willing to offer you. And only Freedom Scientific knows why this is so.
Peter Matchich, oh wow, number fail, RT Atunehead. At Rickster the Geek, a friend of mine lost their Peter Matchich, oh wow, number fail, RT Atunehead.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Next, I want to talk about carbonite. As many of you out there may know, and maybe some of you don't, carbonite is a online backup service that will back up files from your PC to an online service where they can be protected. You know, if anything would happen to your system or your computers would get stolen, or I don't know, your house would burn down or whatever, even if you had backups there, you know, they could get lost. And I know throughout my years of working in the IT industry, the one thing we always preach to everybody is that the best backup you can have is to have a backup off-site. And that's one of the things that Carbonite allows you to do. I've seen Carbonite for the last few years, and I guess way back when it wasn't as accessible, I guess, as it is today. But using it here, I've found it to be quite accessible. I'll show you the interface here in a moment on JAWS, and I don't know if we'll switch over to other screen readers or not. But from what I've seen, it works the same way on Window Eyes and System Access. It's just a basic HTML interface. But basically what you do is if you go to
Alt-Tab, BGZN, Alt-Tab, ShootCast, Alt-Tab, Encoders, Alt-Tab, Thank You Rick, Alt-Tab, BGZN, Box Outlook Express, Alt-Tab, ShootCast Administrator, Windows Internet Explorer, Online Backup and Dash Data and File Backup. Online backup.
If you go out to www.carbonite.com, you'll go out to the Carbonite website. And here is where you can sign up if you're a new member. You can log on if you're an existing member. There are ways here, if you're on other computers, to access your online backup and restore files to other systems via remote backup. And I've tried this here with JAWS, and it does work well. It's quite accessible. Again, just a basic HTML interface, nothing fancy, and nothing there to really trip up screen readers at this point in time. So,
blend.
Basically, if you're unsure about the service, you can sign up for a 15-day free trial, and they won't ask you for a credit card or anything. You can try the service out, make sure it's going to work on your machine. One of the interesting things about Carbonite is Carbonite only backs up what is on your machine. It doesn't back up network storage drives or drives plugged in via USB. I'm curious to find out from others that have eSATA drives. To me, an eSATA drive is an external SATA drive. It's a newer style connections. It seems to me that an eSATA drive would show up to Carbonite as an internal drive on your system, because for all intents and purposes, it is, you know, basically. But like I said, it doesn't back up you know, USB drives or network storage drives. So it only backs up what is in your computer. So that's one thing you have to be aware of with Carbonite. And for me, it's not really a problem here because I have almost a terabyte here on the XP box, and I just dump things over to it that I want to back up. And the rest of the stuff I just leave on the network storage device where I've got a couple terabytes there of storage. So, but the process for this is relatively simple. Like I said, you get on here, you sign up for an account, ask you for an email address and a password. Once you've provided that information, it'll ask you for a PC name so you can identify your account easier, you know, in case you're going to have multiple accounts, and some people do. The service is $54.99 a year, U.S. If you get 2 and 3 years at a time, it gets cheaper. Get a slight discount for 2 years. I believe it's $99. If you get it for 3 years, it's $129. So if you get it for 3 years, you save $30. And that's a pretty good savings. If you have various codes. I listen to Leo Laporte all the time on his tech podcast, and he gives the code Leo, L-E-O, out for Carbonite. And if you're a listener to him regularly, you can use that code on Carbonite and get you 2 free months of the service as well. And that'll extend whatever you sign up for. That doesn't extend your 15-day free trial. I tried it on a machine for somebody that I'm helping get them set up. And we just put the 15-day free trial on it initially, and it recognizes the code, but I guess you don't get it till you actually buy the service. So there's no free lunch there, I guess. Okay, once you give it the password and the username and all that, then you install a program. Carbonite downloads to your PC, and you set up and install. Very simple process. Nothing much to it. Very, very simple. Basically just agree to a few things and tell it what type of a PC you are, you know, whether you're a laptop, a server, or just a home PC. And then basically the program starts running. One of the things I have noticed, however, with this version of Carbonite, and I've verified this on 2 different machines now, so I'm pretty certain that this is a JAWS 12 issue. When you try to install the initial program, it crashes. And I tried this several times here on my machine and finally came to the realization that when I switched to system access, the problem no longer occurred. I've also noticed JAWS 12 crashing the online backup drive program when it's trying to display that through Windows Explorer. So that's something I'm going to be reporting to Freedom Scientific. It's obviously a problem somewhere between JAWS and Carbonite. The person that I installed it on, we were doing a tandem session, and it kept crashing. And what I had to do was get out of tandem, and actually they had a version of JAWS 8 on their machine. And when I talked them through doing the process with JAWS 8, it didn't crash. It installed just normally. So it's apparently, with the newer versions of JAWS, I don't know if it's JAWS 11 or 10, but I do know it's JAWS 12 for certain because I've seen it happen on, like I said, 2 different machines now. All right. Let's assume that you've went out and done this. You've signed up for your free trial or you've purchased it and you've went through the process of downloading and installing the program. What happens is Carbonite will set in your system tray.
Select the system tray icon dialog. You have new email. Encoders. Streamer BG. Dropbox. Zip. Super Antis. Carbonite. Initial backup in progress.
And here you see it says Carbonite. Initial backup is in progress. What happens is when you start running Carbonite, it goes out and looks for things that it wants to back up. There are a number of things that Carbonite backs up. A number of things Carbonite does not back up. And I guess I should say that right now before we go any further. Carbonite backs up your data files, essentially. It does not back up your programs, your installed programs, or your Windows operating system files in any way, shape, or form. It backs up things like your email. It will back up downloaded programs that haven't been installed. It will back up music. It will back up some forms of video, and you can manually have it back up other forms of video. There are other sized files that it doesn't back up automatically. I noticed it doesn't back up ISO files, you know, image files automatically. There is a way to do that, and I can show you how to do that. Doesn't backup files automatically over four gigs in size, and that's basically just to not bog down your backup. But you can force it to do those files as well. So this doesn't backup your entire operating system, so be advised of that. This is just a data backup process. So, you know, if you lose a machine or whatever, you know, you're still going to have Windows installed. You're still going to have your programs reinstalled. But, you know, your data, and generally to most people, the data is the most important thing on the computer. You know, that stuff can all be restored. Okay, so if we go into here.
Enter. Menu.
We have various options.
Info center ..
The info center is where you can get information on your backup, what it's doing currently, how much time is left in your subscription, things like that. Also, you can get to the restore process and settings for the backup through the info center.
Freeze your backup.
You can freeze your backup, and I guess if you had done a backup up to the Carbonite Center, and for whatever reason you didn't want it altered, you can freeze it. This is not anything I've messed with here, because I will be wanting Carbonite to back my stuff up as I change it. And as you put things onto your drives, Carbonite will automatically see that, and it'll schedule that stuff for backup for you automatically. Once this is configured and running, basically you don't have to do anything anymore.
Low priority L.
You can tell it to use a low priority, but Carbonite is really good. I've noticed here in the last week or so that I've been using it. Carbonite automatically recognizes when you're running the computer, and it will slow its uploads down in order to not interfere with things you're doing. You, however, can force it into low priority if you want. Through the Info Center, you can tell it to schedule when it backs up and when it doesn't. So if you don't want it doing it during the day or certain times, you definitely can stop it. And what I do here is I leave my machine on here at night, and it backs up a lot more stuff, you know, when the machine's just sitting idle.
Pause for submenu P.
Okay, and you can pause.
10 minutes, 1.
If you just want to totally stop it.
30 minutes, 1 hour, 1. 4 hours, 4. 8 hours, 8. 24 hours, 10 minutes, 1.
And you basically just tell it there how long to pause it for.
Pause for submenu P. Disable Carbonite D.
Or you can disable it. I'm not sure why you would want to disable it, and I haven't done that here, so.
Info center .. I.
All right, let's go into the Info Center with JAWS.
Enter. Leaving menus, Carbonite Info Center, Carbonite Info Center, 1 frame and 6 links.
And since this is a simple HTML interface, this basically looks the same way and behaves the same way on whatever screen reader you've used. I've looked at it here with JAWS and Window Eyes and System Access, and essentially it looks the same. So I don't suppose there's really any point in bringing up other screen readers to do this. Just rest assured that, you know, at least with the major screen readers, I didn't try it with NVDA, but it's a very simple, as you'll see here, HTML interface.
Blend. Carbonite Info Center.
Go up to the top here.
Info Center. Backup button.
You have buttons here up at the top. You have backup button.
Restore button.
Restore button.
Set options button.
Here you can set your options.
Get support button.
You can get support via a number of methods, either through email or through live chat, or you can call Carbonite Tech Support Monday through Fridays, 9 to 5 p.m., you know, standard hours.
About button.
And about button here will tell you what version of Carbonite you're using.
You have 2 years, 49 days.
And now we're into the heart of the center here. Tells you how many years and days you have left in your subscription.
Left in. Link your subscription. Blank.
And if you're using a 15-day trial, you'll see a buy button and stuff here as well, so you can actually get your subscription updated.
Status frame.
Okay, and then we come into a frame, and we're in the backup section here right now of the Info Center.
Initial backup in progress.
It's telling me my initial backup is in progress.
Link, how long will this take?
And this just basically takes you out to a web page, and it tells you that this varies, you know, on backup speed and everything. It won't actually give you any real answer, so don't worry about it.
34%.
Okay, my current initial backup is 34% done.
Backed up 82,508 files, 77.0 GB.
And it tells me how many files, how many gigabytes I've backed up so far.
Link view files.
And if I wanted to view those files, I can do that here. There's other ways to do this, and I'll show you momentarily.
Pending 7,760 files, 145 GB.
And then it tells us how many files are pending, how many gigabytes are pending.
Link view files.
And we can view these as well. What's left to back up?
91%.
Now it's telling me that it's 91% in the current file it's working on.
Now backing up Celine Dionne Nudeascom.mp3.
And then it'll tell me when it's backing up. It's obviously in my archive drive, and it's backing up my music right now.
Link how to add or remove files.
And you have various links here, how to add and remove files. I'll show you this here momentarily. You don't have to do all of this through the Info Center if you don't want to.
Visited link manage my backup settings.
And you can change your backup settings here. Really doesn't, the Info Center really doesn't allow you to change much. Most of this is just done basically through Windows Explorer. And I'll show you here momentarily.
Status frame end. Copyright 2000.
Okay. And like I said, you can go through restore and stuff here as well. You can also do it on the website, or you can do it through Windows Explorer. So what I'm going to do is close this.
Alt F4.
I'm going to close JAWS now because, like I said, when you're using some of the features in the online backup drive, I've noticed JAWS 12 will crash the process. So let me change this real quick.
Quit JAWS dialog. Are you Enter? Online backup and dash data and file backup software. Carbonite Windows Internet.
What I'm going to do is go over to Window Eyes. So let me bring that up now. And it'll take a moment. Okay, come on. Let me try it again. I don't think I hit the key right. Sorry. Here it comes.
Window Eyes 7.2. Online backup data file backup software. Carbonite Windows Internet Explorer. Online backup data file backup software.
Okay, first thing is let me...
Monty Ice Noble. Restore the GYS.
Let me...
Screen. Volume. Keyboard, mouse, all, tone, pitch, rate.
Let me slow this down.
All voices rate 64. All voices rate 51. All voices rate 44. All voices rate 38. All voices rate 35.
Okay. Now let's go into Windows Explorer.
Beat my computer. My computer. No selected item list view. 3 floppy 8 XP DVD Vista Archive Stuff F. Type
and
local disk. Accessible world.
We'll go into my archive folder here. One thing you need to know is when you do your initial backup with Carbonite, and if you tell it to just use its backup preferences, it only looks at drive C initially. So if you want to back up other things, you need to go to your other drives and just do it. The easiest way I've found to do it, and Jeff Bishop was wondering about this last time I talked to him. And yes, Jeff, you can just go to a drive, hit your application key, go to Carbonite, and tell it you want to back it up, and it'll do that at drive level. So,
Amazon MP3. Type file folder date modified 11/3/2010, 6:49 p.m.
But what you do here is if you hit your application key.
Context menu. Open O, explore, search, open, and 7-zip Carbonite pull down.
You have a Carbonite menu here. You go into it.
Pending backup disabled.
And what it's saying here is it's pending backup, so you can't change this. What it has here, if it's not scheduled for backup, it'll say it's not scheduled for backup, and it'll let you know. And you can go down through here.
Properties, P-Dialog.
You can get properties.
Don't back this up, D.
You can tell it not to back it up, which means it's currently scheduled to back it up. If it wasn't scheduled to back it up already, it would say, back this up. And if you wanted it to do that, you just simply hit enter there.
Open folder and Carbonite backup drive, O dialog.
If you want to see this folder in the Carbonite online drive, you can do so through here.
Carbonite pull down.
Now, a sighted user has a very easy time at this.
Menu close.
Because in Windows Explorer, Carbonite just simply adds a green or red dot next to the file or folder showing the status of its backup. If it's red, obviously it's not backed up, and if it's green, it is backed up. What we can do as a screen reader user to get around this is, fortunately,
archived stuff type.
Let's,
file folder, Amazon MP3. Type file arc non remote junk. Type file at XV Win 7 codec web client Linux 3.0.ISO size 700/1774 KB. Type image files date modified 531.
Kill two birds with one stone here. This is a Linux ISO file. And if I hit my application key,
Carbonite pull down.
Go into Carbonite.
Pending backup disabled. Properties P dialog.
Go into my properties.
Menu closed. Details backup checkbox unchecked. Property sheet Linux 3.0.ISO top left.
Okay, and if I use my window eyes cursoring here.
General. Pending backup. Item S group box. Name. Linux 3.0.ISO. Location. Fjunk. Backup size. 685 MB total. Versions available. 0. Details group box. Last backed up. Backup checkbox unchecked. Backup. Checkbox. Unchecked. Backup. Checkbox unchecked.
Oops, I think I'm doing that wrong. Sorry. You have a backup checkbox here you can check. And
backup files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox unchecked.
And for whatever reason, I don't know why it did this, but it unchecked this. I told this yesterday to back these up.
Space. Checked. Backup checkbox.
Okay. But what it's telling us there is it didn't automatically back up this file type, and we can tell it in the Carbonite properties to do this, either for this file, which is the first checkbox where it said back this file up, or in this checkbox here, back files up of this type. And
backup. Check backup files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox unchecked. Backup files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox unchecked.
Ooh.
Space. Unchecked. Space. Checked. Backup checkbox. Backup as soon as possible. Checkbox unchecked. Backup files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox unchecked.
Now, Window Eyes is not reading the status of this checkbox correctly. It does not appear. And that could be a potential problem, I guess, unless you know.
Backup as soon as possible. Checkbox unchecked. Default OK button.
Okay.
Space. Unchecked. Backup checkbox. Details. Details. Backup checkbox. Unchecked. Details. Details. OK. But space. Junk. Linux 3.0.ISO size 700. Context
menu. Let's make sure
open
this is still
7-zip set Carbonite pending backup disabled. Properties. Back this up B.
Okay. I'm having a problem here with this because I know I told this yesterday to back up these file types and it's not doing it. Now, if I tell it here to back this up, well, it'll back up this one ISO file, but it won't back up all ISO files. So, let me try this again here.
Menu closed. Property sheet. Linux 3.0. Details. Title edit box. Read only. Checkbox. Details backup. Checkbox unchecked. Space. Checked. Details. Backup files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox unchecked. Space. Checked.
Check
backup
it.
Files of this type within folder selected for backup. Checkbox. Details. Backup as soon as possible. Checkbox unchecked.
And if you need a priority backup on these, you can check this box here, and it would, you know, the particular files you checked, it would put them on a high priority.
Okay. Button.
Okay, let's try this again.
Space. Hourglass. Junk. Linux 3.0. Contact view array refresh custom paste p paste short undo move tortoise 8 svn tortoise new the property view v arrange refresh e. Menu closed. Add bar dr 920 nus.x bct 14 7 add bar drv Linux 3.0.iso con o up 7 is carbonite pending properties p don't back this up d.
Okay, now it says don't back this up. So I think Window Eyes just isn't reading the status of the checkbox properly. And I'm not sure if I have another ISO file here anywhere to check this out, but just be aware of that. Now, let's back up a level.
Carbonite menu closed. XPC. Type lo- D Vista E.
If I go down
type
through
local disk
with Windows Explorer.
Archive stuff F. Audio volume 2 volume 1 carbonite backup drive.
You have a carbonite. You have a carbonite backup drive here. And if we go into this, just enter into it.
Six links. Carbonite backup drive. My carbonite backup drive. My backup. Link. Browse the files in my backup.
You can browse your files in your backup here.
Link. Launch the restore manager.
You can launch your restore manager.
View carbonite status.
View carbonite status.
Link. All backed up files, 82,516 files.
And if I go in here, I can see these files.
App starting. Windows Explorer. One link. Carbonite backup drive. The carbonite backup drive shows you all the files and folders in your backup, organized just as they are on your computer. Double click on the folder to view its contents. Right click on any file or folder. To view restore options. To remove a file or folder from your backup, right click on it and select don't. Back this up. Link. View files pending backup 7,767 files. Bottom arrow.
Okay.
Top. Carbonite backup drive. The carbonite just as they are. Double to remove a file. Back this up. Link. View files pending backup 7,700. Back this up. To remove a file to viewers, double click on the folder to view its contents. Right click on any just as they are on the carbonite backup drive shows you all the files. Link. View files pending. No link. No link.
Let's see here.
No visited link. Back through the view restore options. Top. Link. View files pending backup 7,767 files.
Okay, let's see here.
No link or control. Bottom. Bottom. Link. View files pending backup 7,000.
Okay, it said I could view all files backed up. Now, I haven't did this in WindowEyes here near as much as I've messed with it in JAWS, and it looks a little bit different here too.
Back this up. To remove the viewers, double click on the folder to view its content just as they are. The carbonite backup drive. Top. Carbonite backup drive. The carbonite backup drive shows you all the files and folders in your backup, organized just as they are on your computer. Double click on the folder to view its contents. Yeah. Right click on any file or folder. To view restore options. To remove a file or folder from your backup, right click on it and select don't. Back this up.
Yeah, okay.
Link. View files pending backup 7,767 files. Bottom. Bottom.
Now this thing just told me I could view all the files in my backup. Let's see what's going on here.
Six carbonite backup drive. Top. Carbonite backup drive. My backup. Link. Link. Launch the restore manager. View carbonite status. Link. All backed up files 82,518 files. Link. Files pending backup 7,793 files. Help.
Let's say we want to restore something here and see.
Link. Link. All backed up view carbonite status. Link. Launch the restore manager. HTTP. Three links. Link. Online help. First. Button. Next. Button. First. Button. Next. Button. Prev. Button. Last. Button. 1. Select. Select files to restore. 2. Restore. Carbonite. Is restoring your files. 3. Verify. Make sure you've restored all the files you need. We'll help you restore all your files in 3 easy steps. 1. Select. Carbonite. We'll help you choose where to restore your backed up files. If you need to access immediately, you can get those back first. 2.
Oh, come on.
Restore. Carbonite will put your files back and use your 3. Verify. Check the link. Cancel. Check the restore summary to make sure you've restored all the files you need. Link. Cancel. Link. Next.
Okay.
Not a valid key press.
I'm sorry. Used to JAWS.
12 links. First. Button. First. But next. Button. Prev. Button. Last. But 1. Select. Select files to restore. 2. Restore. Carbonite is restoring your 3. Verify. Make complete. Last. Carbonite will receive user this link. Let this computer. Users from. This computer. Link. Let carbonite do this for me automatically. Restore from username. 2. Notes. Checkbox checked. Rick's files.
Okay.
Rick. Combo box. Rick's files will be restored to Rick's account. Checkbox checked.
And I don't actually...
Log me in remote user's files. Log me in remote user. Log me in remote user's files will be restored to log me in remote user's account. Carbonite. Will automatically restore these Windows user accounts. Uncheck any Windows user accounts you do not want to restore to this computer. Checkbox checked. Rick. Checkbox checked. Log me in relink. Advanced. Carbonite will restore your files automatically. Carbonite has detected that all Windows user accounts in your backup match Windows user accounts. On this computer, all Windows user accounts will be restored. Link. Learn more. Link. Change restore settings. Advanced. Carbonite will restore your files automatically. Carbonite will automatically restore all of the files from the Windows user account.
I don't really want it to do that, but I was able to, the other day, to just test it out because Jeff Bishop was asking me about it. I logged in to the Carbonite site and went into the remote restore options, and I picked one of my backup files from online and told it I wanted to restore it to another location on my computer, and it did just that. So I'm not going to let this sit here and try to restore all my files right now. I don't want to do that.
Backup to the Windows user account on this carb bottom.
But let's check Twitter here and see if we have any comments.
Rickster the Geek. Message edit box. Dialogue reply cancelled.
Oops, wrong way.
Checking for mentions. One new mention. Peter Matchich. Oh wow, fail. Monty Icenogle. Rickster the Geek. Heck, one time I updated my SATA controller driver, and guess what? It cost JFW to need to be reauthorized about 34 minutes ago.
And as we said, that is one of the things different hardware drivers will cause ILM to reauthorize. That's not unusual.
Kieran L. Rickster the Geek tuned in and listening about 34 minutes ago.
Okay, Kieran L. is here.
Monty Icenogle. Rickster the Geek. How can users with multiple PCs use JAWS on all their PCs legally? That's what I want. Starflyer 3. Rickster the Geek. Monty Icenogle. Rickster the Geek. Does Carbonite show you the speed at which your backup is going? About 21 minutes ago.
No, it does not. It does not give you a status in bytes per second or anything like that, unfortunately. Yeah, and that is very dependent on what you're doing on the PC. Like I said, Carbonite detects that you're using the PC. Like right now, it would be backing up things at a much slower rate because it knows I'm doing things. If the machine's idle, then it goes up to a higher rate, obviously. But no, it doesn't show that.
Monty Icenogle, Rickster the Geek. I hope Carbonite will allow you to use all your upstream bandwidth for your backup if you wish to do so. About 20 minutes ago.
I cannot verify that. I would assume that it does when the machine is idle, but no, I can't verify this, actually.
Kieran L. Rickster the Geek. Vista E. What the heck is that for? You haven't dual-boated Vista, have you? Please say you haven't. About...
Yeah, I do, actually. This XP box has an XP partition and a Vista partition on it, and the Windows 7 box has a Windows 7 dual-boot partition on it and another version of Vista on it. So, yeah, I do that here.
Kieran L. Rickster the Geek. Wouldn't it be that all files button about 4 minutes ago?
I didn't want to restore all the files, but regardless, it's capable of doing it. I'm a little stymied here in Windows-wise because I'm not used to the layout as well as I am with JAWS, and I didn't want JAWS to crash the online drive center. But rest assured, you can do it. I'm just not showing you here real well, as I sometimes tend to do.
Kieran L. Rickster the Geek. Wouldn't it be that all files button about 5 minutes ago?
Okay, we're up to the top here of those comments. Let's see, emails. Let's check emails real quick.
Carbonite backup drive. Thank you, Rick. I just heard BGZ Inbox Outlook Express. BGZ hide button.
Check this real quick. And out there on Twitter, if there's anything else you'd like to discuss here,
Express. Red Mustafa.
Let me know.
Unread. Twitter subject. Christina Essel is now following you on Twitter. Received 11 unread Twitter subject. Christina Hessel is...
And we have no emails. So, all right, if there's something else you'd like to talk about, let me know here on Twitter in the next couple of minutes, and we'll do that. But otherwise, if there's nothing anybody has any questions on, I guess we'll wrap things up here shortly.
Unread.
Oops.
3:11 p.m.
And we've been running about an hour and 11 minutes, so it's a pretty good run today. Let's...
Carbonite backup, thank you, Rick. Encoders, online backup, DBGZ inbox, Carbonite backup drive. Carbonite backup drive.
Let's close that.
BGZ, Carbonite backup drive. Carbonite backup drive.
Jeez,
backed up files unselected.
How many of these do I have?
Backed up file, other places. Link.
Close my that too.
BG, thank you, Rick. I just heard your...
Close that.
BGZ. Encoders. Online backup data file backup software. SHO Youthcast administ. Refresh. 12 links. 1 USHO Youthcast link. SHO Youthcast server link. Status. Link. Link. No heading. Link. Link. Current stream information table. 1 server status. Server is currently up and stream status. Stream is up at 128 kbps with 14 of 1,000.
Yeah, we've still got 14 listeners. Great, great. Even more than we had last time. Thank you, everybody, so very much for listening today.
Listener peak, 21.
Yeah, we had a listener peak of 21, so that's great.
Desktop.
But I hope to do more of these and not take 6 weeks to do them. Hopefully here in another week or two we can get something to do. Kind of need help, though, at times. I don't always have ideas on what to do here with the live cast. And if you'd like to suggest something to me, why don't you email me at rharmon, R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you'd like to hear something in a future live cast, let me know, and I'll be happy to do that, providing it's something I know about and can do. And that way we can have these more often. Part of the reason I didn't have anything here in the 6 weeks is I didn't have anything right away to talk about, and would like to not just get on here and, you know, sit and ramble. Would like to have things to talk about. Let's check Twitter here again.
Checking for mentions. 3 new mentions. Peter Matchich, Rick Sturthageek, I'm tuned in as well, about 4 minutes ago.
Okay, Peter Matchich is here. I'm glad to have you.
Starflyer 3, Rick.
I'm not even going to play what he has to say because it's never anything good.
Kieran L., Rick Sturthageek, I like them, about 49 seconds ago.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're liking, but...
Kieran L., Rick...
Okay. All right. Well, I really don't have anything further to talk about here, so I guess at this point we'll wrap this up. And like I said, hopefully within the next couple of weeks we can do something else on here. I'd like to continue to have these. And like I said, I'd like to be able to get people in through Skype and stuff here soon. So I'm going to keep working on that. I need to get my second sound card installed here and learn how to use the virtual audio cable software too, and I think we'll be able to get quite a few things done. I do have an external mixer here that I use for Accessible World, and the phone bridge device that we use to sometimes link people in from a phone room to the Talking Communities conference room there in Accessible World and some of their other places. But that's kind of set up for that, and I don't like to mess around with it too much. But if it comes down to it and I need some kind of an external mixer to do this, that's always a possibility. But if I can do it, I know others are doing it just with 2 sound cards and some program trickery. So hopefully we can do that as well and get some more options here going. All right. Well, we'll check Twitter one more time.
Checking for mentions. 1 new mention, Peter Matchich, Rick Sturthageek. That is unusual, as my Miranda time plugin is in fact showing 2 p.m. Eastern, about 2 minutes ago.
Well, it's not 2 p.m. Eastern here, I'm sorry to tell you that.
My computer, 3:16
p.m. It's 3:16 p.m. and I have no doubts that that's what time it is here, because I started this an hour and 16 minutes ago. So, all right, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you very much, everybody, for participating today. I hope you enjoyed this. Hope it was entertaining, educational, and all that. And like I said, we'll catch you again here real soon.